Kate Harness with 307 Net Info, and today I'm joined by another one of our House District 40 candidates, Mark Jones. Hello, Mark. Nice to see you.
Hi, Kate. Glad to be here.
Thank you so much for spending some time with 307 Net Info, and I have some questions for you, really about your candidacy. The first thing I'd like to ask is, what prompted you to run for this position?
Well, that's a big question and a good question. And the short answer is that I want my children to grow up with the same freedoms and opportunities that I did. I'm a 54-year-old father of two. I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and there was a lot of hope in America. There was the feeling you could do whatever you wanted to do if you worked hard. There was a lot of freedom and just freedom and opportunity, and we're losing that. We're losing that at the federal and the state level. And circumstances have led me in my life to be involved in our political processes, and I feel like I have a responsibility to take that to the Wyoming legislature. That's why I'm running.
So I hear a little twang in your accent, which may be a bit rich coming from me because I think I have probably more than a twang. But you're not originally from Wyoming. How long ago did you move here?
Well, yeah, that seems to be a big question that a small number of people in the county ask. And I was born in Virginia, spent a lot of my career in the southeastern U.S. working for university and the government. I'm a certified wildlife biologist, have been for almost three decades. So I'm a scientist by trade. I've worked as a big game, small game biologist. Lived in Wyoming some as a young man, came back to Wyoming permanently about 4 years ago. And I think when people learn about my background history, my experience, and the way I've been fighting for our rights for many years, they'll realize that the most important thing in this race is who has traditional American values and who has the credibility and the experience to stand up for what's right. And folks need to look past where people were born.
Okay, so I think that there are some, you know, I've experienced this myself as someone who ain't from around here. And even though you say, you know, you had a moment here as a younger man, you know, in Wyoming, Wyomingites have a very strong sense of what their own identity and culture is. What would you say to people who are apprehensive about you being able to really, truly represent Wyoming?
Well, I think they need to actually become better educated about what's happening in our Wyoming legislature, because we have a legislature that's 92% Republican, but it's as divided ideologically as any in America. There are liberals and conservatives within that Republican Party in the Wyoming legislature. And some of those liberals were born in Wyoming and some weren't. And some of the conservatives were born in Wyoming and some weren't. There's an effort to turn this state blue, as Colorado has been turned blue in recent years. And there are plenty of folks born in Wyoming and not born in Wyoming that are pushing a liberal agenda in this state. So what folks need to do is actually become educated about what's happening and stop worrying about where people were born. Focus on the issues. Focus on people's credibility. Focus on people's track record. And I hope you'll ask me some good questions here in a minute, because my track record of fighting for our rights speaks for itself. I've been fighting the Biden administration for a long time to protect Wyoming values and to protect American values.
So that does lead me into my next question, which I hope you will consider to be a good one, which is, as you mentioned, you know, this is a Republican primary election. You're a conservative candidate. Could you explain to people and describe your brand of conservatism so that they really can get a handle on that? How would you align yourself?
I'm a constitutional conservative. I believe that our... And you know what? It's funny. All elected officials in America take an oath to the Constitution, but a small minority of them actually honor that oath. And I'm actually a constitutional conservative. I believe that our rights come from God. They're enshrined in our Constitution, and they shouldn't be violated. And I will operate based on that premise with every decision I make. I'm also a fiscal or a financial conservative, and I don't just say that. I will prove that with policies that I will pursue related to taxes and spending. I believe that when possible, we should leave money in people's pockets we should get back to the basic role of government, which means providing basic services and needs like police, fire, EMS, roads, bridges, schools. It doesn't mean sending pork barrel projects, special favors back to your district. So I'm a fiscal and a constitutional conservative, and I'm the kind of person that helped build this country. But we've got so far away from that in our country that it's absolutely astounding. And I hope, and I think the voters of House District 40 are smart, and they will, between now and the primary, they're going to look at the facts and look at the data and look at what's actually been going on in Cheyenne. And I think they're going to understand that they need candidates like me in the legislature.
So would you describe yourself as aligning more closely with, there seem to be two factions that have been emerging recently in the Wyoming Republican Party, the Wyoming Freedom Caucus, and then there's another sort of slightly more loose, amorphous group, confusingly called or have been named the Wyoming Caucus. Are you a signed-up member with either of those groups? Do you align more closely with one or the other?
I am not a member of any group. I am running on my own record. I would say that folks need to do their homework on both groups. I think in general that it's, if you look at voting records, the Wyoming caucus is more liberal. The Wyoming Freedom Caucus is more conservative. And I'm certain that if I'm elected, I will lean more towards voting with the Wyoming Freedom Caucus. But I am aligned with nobody. I'm my own man, and I'm running on my own record.
The Wyoming Republican Party, as we've mentioned, is divided. And the last legislative session, although it was short, a budget session, it saw all kinds of fractious difficulties and stalemate, and reaching consensus was increasingly difficult. And it was not business as usual. One of the results of that is that voters get tired of what they see as infighting and division, and they tune out. And it also dissuades good candidates from seeking office because they think, I don't want to get into the fray of that. I don't want to get down into that. Collaboration and consensus is necessary to achieve anything in government. How would you work to build more unity, more consensus within a divided party?
Well, I'm going to stand on principles, and I'm going to stand on facts. I hear people say there's division, there's contention. So I think in some ways that's true. It's also a distraction. It's an excuse not to get things done. I will give you some examples. Our legislature could not pass a bill to stop illegal aliens from getting driver's licenses. Driver's licenses are a pathway to voting. Our legislature could not pass a bill to stop China from buying our land. And the parties in power are primarily the liberals in the House. They're responsible for that. That's the fact. That's the fact that the Wyoming voter and the House District 40 voters need to look at. Ask themselves why these people in power, liberals control the Wyoming House right now prior to the upcoming election, why they would not pass those bills. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to stand on principle, I'm going to stand on fact, and I'm going to expose the truth. Compromise is often used as an excuse to do leftist things. I will work with anyone. I will sit down and chat with anyone. I will talk with anyone, and I will listen to anyone's opinion. But I'm going to stand on conservative constitutional principles, as I have done for many years in my work with Gun Owners of America as a national director, fighting for our Second Amendment rights against the Biden administration. I've got a track record, and I'm the only person in this race, and one of the few in Wyoming, that can say they've spent the last several years fighting the Biden administration to protect our Second Amendment rights. I'm going to stand on principle, Kate, and I'm going to look for ways to help other legislators understand what are constitutional principles, what are financially conservative principles. That's what I'm going to do, and that's what we need in the legislature.
Property tax reform remains an issue which has not found meaningful and widespread relief. Homeowners are still suffering from the high burden of property tax. And acutely in our region, we still remain in our little corridor of Wyoming, we still remain under that high burden, and we did not manage to get legislative change. There was some effort towards that, but it ultimately failed. What measures, given that the legislature will have another go at it in the next session, what measures would you support to bring property tax relief to homeowners?
That's a great question, and it's a simple question. You're correct in that true property tax relief was not passed. There were some bills passed that gave relief to certain classes of people, but not widespread relief. And the bill that was touted as property tax relief was House Bill 45. I encourage your listeners to go look it up. What House Bill 45 did is it locked your taxes in where they were the last day of 2023, and then it capped future rates of increase for only a few years. That was not property tax relief, folks. Go look it up. The bill that I favored was proposed by Representative Tony Locke from Natrona County. That rolled your taxes back to 2019 levels, and then it capped future rates of increase. The liberals who control the Wyoming House did not allow that bill to come to the floor. You can look all this up for yourself. There was an attempt from the conservatives on the House floor, and remember, liberals controlled the Wyoming House in the spring of in the winter of 2024. There was an effort by the conservatives in the House to amend House Bill 45. On February 22nd, you can go look at the House debate yourself on yoledge.gov. There was an effort to amend House Bill 45, roll taxes back to 2019 levels. Since the liberals would not let the actual bill be introduced, the conservatives tried to amend House Bill 45, and that was opposed. That was opposed by the current representative of House District 40, who's now running for the Senate. You can look for yourself and watch the video of liberals in the House arguing against rolling your taxes back to 2019 levels and capping future rates of increase. So if I'm elected, I will support a bill that will roll our taxes back. What happened was taxes went up, on average in Wyoming, 62.5% between 2019 and 2023. It was an average in Wyoming, 62.5% in 4 years. We should roll those back and then cap future rates of increase. People's income and people's pensions do not go up 62% in 4 years. Especially people on fixed incomes and senior citizens on Social Security, they see a 2 or 3% increase each year. The property tax increases were draconian. The liberals in the House intentionally did not pass property tax relief. And it's time to understand the facts. Call it what it was. I would support a bill to roll the taxes back and then cap future rates of increase.
Thank you. So moving on, we've been talking about home ownership, but housing is also a significant issue which challenges the well-being of Johnson County. Many employers, both our large and smaller employers, report difficulties in recruiting staff because of the cost of not only housing, but also the cost of living here. And this is a problem not unique to Johnson County. It's a problem that many Wyoming communities are grappling with. As a representative for Johnson County, what solutions would you have to help address the issue here at a local level?
Well, first off, I should point out House District 40 also includes about 25% geographically of Sheridan County. Mm-hmm. It's not just Johnson County. Mm-hmm. So these are issues important to both areas. And I think that one of the problems we've got, people need to understand, this property tax issue has driven up the cost of home ownership and the cost for renters. Even this cost is often passed on to renters. So again, and this is important, people need to really understand this. The average homeowner saw their taxes go up 62.5% in 4 years. That is passed on to renters. That impacts if people have mortgages and they have their property taxes in their escrow and a part of their monthly payment, that makes those go up very high as well. The part of the reason that we have these problems you described, Kate, is because of these property tax increases. And the legislature's had 4 years to do something about it. They haven't fixed it. The liberals in the House passed a fake property tax relief bill that locked your taxes in where they were the last day of 2023. So we need true property tax relief to drive down the cost of home ownership. That's the way capitalism works. And if you do that, you'll see more people have more money in their pocket. You'll see people be able to keep rent prices lower. But we have to be honest with what's really going on, and people need to actually understand it. Everything I'm saying can be documented by looking at the facts and figures, looking at the votes on yoledge.gov. The worst thing we can do is add more liberal government controls into this system, or it's only going to get worse. People need to understand how it really works and what the facts are.
So you mentioned a statewide solution, which is property tax relief. Meanwhile, other communities and communities around us are actively trying to motivate and incentivize the building of new homes or creating more affordable housing opportunities or lower rental opportunities. What could you do and what would you do to ensure that Johnson County could also compete and would be motivating and incentivizing developers and those sorts of solutions to the housing problem?
Well, if by incentives you're talking about special government treatment, I'm not in favor of those. I don't believe the government should pick winners and losers. I don't believe that we should give one class of person a benefit that we don't give others. So if that's what you're trying to lead me into with incentivizing things, I'm not going to go there. We should not subsidize carpenters and leave out coal miners. We should not subsidize real estate agents and leave out mechanics. We are a free market capitalistic economy. And if we get to the real root of the problem in Wyoming, we will understand that by lowering taxes and deregulating businesses, people can have an opportunity to go out and work in the free market and compete. That's what our country was built upon. And we have a spending problem in Cheyenne, not a revenue problem. We waste a lot of money. So if we roll taxes back and get out of business's way and let them compete, free market will take care of these problems. The worst thing the government can do is try to pick winners and losers and say, well, we're going to send money to Claremont, and we're not going to send money to Buffalo. That's the kind of things that helps create the problems that we have now. That's a socialistic form of government, too.
Moving on to a slightly different issue, Wyoming and this district in particular continues to experience challenges in meeting mental health care needs for its citizens. Our suicide rate is very high, as well as the demand for mental health services, and often those services cannot meet the demand. What measures, if any, do you support to meet the needs of community members who may be struggling with poor mental health?
You know, I think that that's a good question, Kate. And I think that one of the things that we have to do, number one, is assess the true role of government. And the true role of government is to provide basic needs and services and not to frivolously spend people's money. If we weren't frivolously spending people's money, we would have more money for things like mental health. I believe the basic role of government is to care for provide police, fire, rescue, EMS, care for people like you're describing, roads, bridges, schools. If we stop wasting money, we'll have more money to do that. And I'm going to give folks an example of how we waste money. A couple of years ago, the legislature allocated $4 million to build a covered walkway at a Natrona County High School so football players could run from the football school to the football field, like an NFL team. I was telling this story to a lady in KC the other night, and she said, son, I've seen it. I've been down there to a game. You can go see it for yourself. And I don't want to pick on Natrona County. There are examples all over Wyoming where we waste money on things like that that are frivolous. And then we turn around and say we don't have the money to take care of people with the kind of problems you're describing, Kate. We need to be honest about what we're doing with our money. We need to reassess the role of government. We need a budget, okay, that's honest and that takes care of the people of Wyoming without wasting their money on frivolous projects. And if we do that, we can address the kind of needs you're talking about.
Thank you. So in your opinion, and I'd like to give you a free rein for a moment and not just answer a question, more open-ended, what are the three most pressing issues on your agenda that you think are facing this district, and what ideas do you support to address those?
I think that as we've already talked about property taxes, that's certainly one of the number one issues impacting our state. I've been talking to voters now. I announced I was going to run in early March. So I've been talking to voters for over 4 months. A lot of people are hurting because of property taxes. People have seen their monthly payments go up if they pay by the month. There are senior citizens and young people who just got out on their own that are worried about being able to meet their needs and pay their taxes. when you see a 62% increase in 4 years, that is more than some people can pay. That has got to be addressed. And I've already told you the ways I would do it. We need to roll those taxes back. We need to have a budget, and we need to get back to the basic role of government. We need to let people keep more money in their pocket, and we need to stop wasting so much of people's money. The second thing I would say, I'm going to put a lot of things under the category of federal overreach. The federal government under the Biden administration, and even before that, the Obama administration, has really been to creep into every aspect of our lives, whether it's trying to impact the way we raise our children, our property rights, our ability to use our federal lands in Wyoming, as we've done for generations, our Second Amendment rights. All of these are under attack. And I think most people realize that. And I want folks to understand that I have a track record of fighting for our rights regarding the Second Amendment as a national director with Gun Owners of America. You know, we're a 3 million member organization. And I have worked for the last several years in Wyoming, in Cheyenne, and in Washington to protect our rights. I understand how this process works. Give you some real-world examples of how I fought for our rights. Last summer, about this same time last year, the Biden administration issued an executive order banning hunter education, shooting sports, and archery in all of America's schools. Those had been in place or available to the school boards to implement since 1965. It was always up to the school board. They could choose to do it or not do it since 1965. He tried to kill those programs with an executive order last summer. I had an op-ed in the Washington Times and went to work with my colleagues at Gun Owners of America. We actually got a law passed in Congress to override his executive order, saving those programs. School boards can still decide to have hunter education, shooting sports, and archery in American schools. That's an example of real-world credibility. None of the other opponents in this race have that, and very few in Wyoming do. And I could go on and on about ways I've fought for our rights in Washington. Under the COVID rules back in 2021, there was an effort to essentially shut down hunting by stopping people from transporting legally harvested wild game across state lines. And they tried to do that under the COVID rules. And because of my background as a wildlife biologist, I'm still a certified wildlife biologist. I'm a scientist. You know, I was able to work in Washington to actually stop that regulation from ever being implemented. It was a nonsensical rule, kind of like a lot of the other COVID rules were. It made no sense. There was no scientific justification for it. And I was able to help stop that. That's real-world credibility. And that just gives you an example. All the types of federal overreach we see into our daily lives, trying to tell us how to raise our kids, trying to get into our property rights issues. Those collectively are some of the biggest challenges facing Wyoming. They are in the current act of trying to shut down coal, oil, and gas here in the state of Wyoming. That's the lifeblood of our economy. If Wyoming was a country, we would be the ninth largest exporter of energy in the world. We export so much energy to neighboring states. And if the federal government is successful in shutting down those industries, we'll be the poorest state in America. So we have to fight back against that. You say, well, how do you do that? You do that through the court system. The legislature allocated $75 million in tried to allocate $75 million in money to fight the feds in court, which the governor vetoed last session. But we need people who will stand up, fight the federal government through the court system, through legislative action, and fight for Wyoming sovereignty. And that's what I would do as a legislator.
Thank you. Maybe I should ask you if you have any other points, you know, before we close. Do you have any other points or remarks that you would like voters to be aware of?
Well, I just like for people to go check out my website at markjonesforwyoming.com, because there's a wealth of information on there from newspaper articles and independent sources about my real world experience fighting the Biden administration. I didn't even mention fighting his effort to ban commonly used ammunition. I've been fighting for grizzly bear delisting because federal government has been abusing the Endangered Species Act for 20 years because grizzly bears met federal recovery goals 20 years ago. So the states of Wyoming, Montana, and Idaho should be managing the grizzly bear, not the federal government. Fighting the veteran gun ban. There was an effort recently by the Biden administration to take guns away from veterans through the VA, and I've been fighting that. I've been fighting for our rights, and I've been working in Cheyenne too. I haven't even talked about that today here. Passed three pro-Second Amendment bills in Cheyenne in the last 3 years. And I've got the experience, I've got the background, and I tell, you know, a lot of politicians will tell you what they're going to do. I'm not a politician, actually. I hope to be a statesman someday. But a lot of people that want to be elected will tell you what they're going to do. I tell folks, look at what I've done. And I'll stack my track record up against anybody in terms of fighting for our rights and liberties and American way of life. And I'll bring that same experience and that same mindset to the Wyoming legislature on all the issues impacting our state.
Mark Jones, candidate for House District 40. Thank you very much for explaining your platform.
Thank you, Kate. I enjoyed it.
Thank you.